Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Press for today, October the 24th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. We're going to get into the lines for this week's event, which is the Butterfield Bermuda Championship on the PGA Tour. And then we're going to get into a little bit of discussion, I guess, around the Portugal Masters, although much like last week, we will probably try to stay as far away as humanly possible from that tournament. But let's do a quick review of what happened over the weekend on the PGA Tour. The CJ Cup in South Carolina, Rory McIlroy won. He won by a shot over Kurt Kitayama. Three critical back nine birdies in a row set the stage for him to be able to bogey the final two holes to win the tournament safely and comfortably. Kitayama actually had an opportunity to kind of make him think about it with a birdie putt on the 72nd hole. Did not drop. That was enough. And McIlroy comfortably bogeyed the last hole to win the golf tournament. He went off in some spots at 9-2. Saw 5-1 in some places, but he was by far the top player on the odds board pre-tournament. After round one, he was plus 360 to win. We talked about that on the show as maybe a great way to hedge your bets if you think he was going to have an opportunity to win. Ultimately, he did. I did not place an in-game wager on McIlroy. I had Rahm. I had Fleetwood. Hoagie had a good week. We had Hatton in there for a while. Lowry fell back. Both those guys kind of fell back on the weekend. Fleetwood made a great weekend charge, and he looked absolutely dead after round one. If he hadn't played so poorly in the first round, I think he would have had a really good chance to win the golf tournament. But we did not get there this past weekend with our plays, unfortunately. But we got a new week coming up, and we also have a little bit to talk about with the Mallorca Golf Open, which was a really compelling finish, actually, even though the golf wasn't all that great in Spain. You had Yannick Paul win his first DP World Tour title. I believe he went off at something like 22 or 25-1 for the German. I mean, he was playing the Outlaw Tour a couple years ago in the middle of the pandemic and was someone to like then and has come so far to become a winner on the DP World Tour. He won with a birdie on the 72nd hole from the fringe. He played one over par golf in the final round. It was him and Ryan Fox who were really guys that should have been going head-to-head with one another, but Ryan Fox had a bad final round, shot 74, with an opportunity to potentially get in probably in the top 15 of the world, top at least inside the top 20 in the world, with the win, and just couldn't do it. But then you had Marcus Armitage in there and Nikolai van Dellinghausen. I mean, you had some interesting young names in that leaderboard. Marcus Armitage, we talked about, I think, the Bullet, as the guys in the shotgun start like to call him. And again, we didn't really have much action on this. The only wager I placed on this tournament was for Kiradek to be the round one leader at 55-1. He had a double bogey late in his round, and he wasn't going to catch Armitage, who I believe shot 8-under 63 to start the tournament. So that wasn't going to happen. So not a winning week really on those plays, unfortunately, but we had a great couple of weeks before that. So you live and you learn. So let's get into this week's event. We have Portugal Masters odds. We have Bermuda Championship odds. We do not have events for any other major tour. There's no LPGA Tour where Lydia Ko wound up winning. She was the favorite going into the tournament. She wound up winning, moves up to number three in the world. Again, while you kind of don't take a whole lot of action on those kinds of LPGA events, just sometimes it's really hard to get past being the best player. And Lydia Ko's the best player. Natalia Titikal got close, but she backed down over the weekend and just couldn't make up the gap that she created for herself. Both those players are really now the top two players in the world. Titikal is number two. Ko is number three. We've got three events left on the schedule, one in Japan, and then coming back to the United States for two more in Florida. It's looking like we'll have some pretty good fields for those final two events. We'll see what happens with the Toto Japan Classic, and we'll talk about that next week. Again, Bermuda Championship this week. And as you know, if you have looked at the field list, there's not a whole lot to work with here. We have one top 50 player in the field. That's Seamus Power. We have a whole bunch of players who have played okay through the fall or had a pretty decent year on the PGA Tour in the last season. Shouldn't say year, last season. And that's really about all we've got. The Bermuda Championship is an interesting tournament because it was originally started in 2019 to be an opposite field event to play against the WGC HSBC champions. Then COVID happened, and it became a full-fledged PGA Tour event because the HSBC champions wasn't played in the last couple of years, and then it just dropped off the schedule entirely. It's done. It's not coming back. So Now you've got this tournament, the Bermuda Championship, which has the lowest full purse of an event that has 500 FedEx Cup points to the winner. It's $6.5 million. So yeah, it's in Bermuda and that's cool, but there's not a whole lot of incentive for the better players to compete this week, given that they had last week at the CJ Cup with 30 of the world top 50, whole lot of world ranking points, $10.5 million purse. So we've got a drop in quality this week, which means a drop in odds for guys you would typically see in this tournament. I mean, Denny McCarthy went off at 100-1 last week. He's 14-1 to win this week. I love Denny McCarthy. He's a guy who plays out of our club here in the Maryland area when he's here. But to put him at 14-1 to win a PGA Tour event that offers 500 FedEx Cup points, given that he hasn't won one yet, is frankly stunning and shocking. And that should give you an indication that you should, at best, play with Monopoly money this week. If you've got free bets, if you've got those kinds of offers where you can get your bet back if you lose up to X amount of dollars, that's where I would stay this week. And just think about taking some deep shots. But let's get up to the top of the odds table, and then we'll dial it back a little bit. So McCarthy is 14-1. Adrian Meronk, who plays predominantly on the DP World Tour, has had a great year. He is at 18-1, along with Thomas Dietrich at 18-1. A guy I really like this week, but it's really hard to like him at 18-1. But if I were going to just nail somebody right away with a bet, it would be Dietrich. Mark Hubbard loves weaker field events, 25-1, along with Seamus Power, who's not in the best form. He is kind of falling out of the top 50 in the world. Grayson Sigg, 30-1. S.H. Kim, 30-1, is actually a play I really like this week. Patrick Rogers, 30-1. But I mean, think about Patrick Rogers. He's had a couple of top 25 finishes recently, but again, really erratic, very hard to judge. He has a top 15 finish in this tournament in the past. Again, just doesn't scream out to you, you got to bet this guy. So that's what we're looking at this week. And he, at 30-1, also has Justin Lauer. Russell Knox, who's a name I actually kind of like, has played this tournament pretty well. He's playing okay. And Alex Smalley, 30-1. And then you start to kind of get into deeper shots. You get Nick Hardy and Steven Yeager and Aaron Rye at 35-1. Adam Long, Nick Taylor, Robbie Shelton at 40. Will Gordon, Callum Tarin, Adam Schenck, Brandon Wu at 45. And then we'll just round it out with the 50s. Austin Eckroat and Austin Smotherman at 50. Then beyond that, you're kind of getting to players who are openly struggling to play good golf at this point, and names that you would typically not even think about betting week to week on the PGA Tour. And then you start getting real deep, real fast, and these are players, obviously, you're not expecting to do very well. But you've got a bunch of guys sitting at 500-1, and typically in weeks like this, you would have players in, you know, maybe three or four players in 1,000-1, two or three players at 2,000-1. They're typically Monday qualifiers. That is not the case here. 500 is the max because some crazy crap could happen. And one of them, I guess, could win. Now, was that going to happen? Almost certainly not. But John Daly's in this field. That needs to tell you something about what we're up against this week. Brian Gay, who played very well last week on the Champions Tour, has won this event and is in the field this week. He's just playing an event where he was a past champion. There's no Champions Tour event this week, so it's nothing in the way of the Schwab Cup. He can do this. He can make this play. It's just not the best field. So you have to be really careful, I think, with where you place your money this week, if you do it at all. And I say this as someone who likes to bet. I would discourage you from betting on the tournament this week, if I can. I would go maybe matchups. Even then, I think you have some difficulty with the matchups, but given the quality of player in this field, and you're probably not going to see a whole lot of matchups posted, maybe six or seven. You're not going to get like the 10, 11, 12 we got last week that were really interesting. But one guy I'm going to throw a couple dollars on at 250-1 is Akshay Bhatia. And that's because he won in the Caribbean on the Corn Ferry Tour this past season, and he did it in horrible weather conditions. So if the weather looks bad at all, I'm kind of interested in him at 250-1. Almost like I was interested, just for giggles, in Bio Kim last week at 1,000-1 to win and 40-1 to get in the top 10. And for a while, on Saturday afternoon, we had a fighting chance on that 40-1 bet. But again, just kind of something to have to keep in mind. David Lingmerth is kind of interesting to me. He's 200-1. he got his card back through the PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour finals, and he won in the Columbus event on a fairly difficult golf course. But if you look at what he's done so far since getting his card back, three missed cuts, rounds between 70 and 75, just has not seen the weekend yet. I'm wondering if maybe he could be an interesting play at 200-1 as a guy who might like this kind of golf course. And I say that because this is the shortest golf course on the PGA Tour. It's under 6,900 yards. There are four golf courses on the PGA Tour that play under 7,000 yards. Two of them play in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And then you have the Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands, and then you've got this one, which is the shortest. This golf course is kind of interesting in that it is a par 71, but all the par threes are, three of the four par threes are over 200 yards, over 210 yards. Then you've got one that's 150. You've got three par fives. You've got two of them under 525 yards, but you have one that's 550. But the telling factor to me about this golf course is that there are way more under 400-yard par fours. Half of them are under 400 yards. So it's a position golf course. You put the ball into play, and then you attack. That sounds like David Lingmert's game. That could be interesting to me. I don't think you want to look toward players who can overpower this golf course. If you look at the people who have won, this is not that kind of golf course. You have Lucas Herbert, who won this tournament. You got Brian Gay, who won this tournament. This is not a tournament for people who hit the ball a long way. It's a tournament for people who can control their ball, who can control their flight, not get annoyed by potential weather conditions that might come up, even in sporadic moments throughout the round. You need a guy who's in control. So I can see that with David Lingmert's game if you want to take a 200-1 shot. Am I going to really do that? No, I'm not. But I think that could be an. I think you can look toward players who don't hit the ball far, but players who hit a lot of fairways, who stay in control. I think that's a good play. Now, I would love to tell you in a weaker field event, I would go after Callum Tarrant. And I've told you that on the show before. I like him in golf courses where you can just kind of mash the golf ball. But this really isn't one of those. So at 45-1, especially, I'm going to sit it out on him. That's not really of interest to me. There's not a whole lot to like here, I think, this week. And maybe my mind will change once I run modeling tomorrow and some things will stand out. If you looked at our model for the CJ Cup, Rory McIlroy was almost a full point better than, I think there was only one or two players in the model that weren't at least a point behind Rory McIlroy, which in the model is enormous for what we do. So you had a very clear favorite last week. That clear favorite won. This week, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find someone who stands out among their peers this week and is someone you're going to really like. So all that said, we'll try to figure that out for tomorrow and see where that leaves us. So let's talk briefly about the Portugal Masters, which is the other event of the week, and that's over in Europe. That's in Portugal, as you might imagine. Now, this golf course, unlike last week for the Mallorca Golf Open, actually hosts this event annually and has for several years. So you have at least some course history to work with here to try to figure out some names to like. And we'll touch a little bit more on that in tomorrow's show. But just to go over the top of the board, Bob McIntyre, 12-1. Jordan Smith, 16-1. Victor Perez, 18-1. Yannick Paul, coming off a win, 20-1, along with Nikolai Højgaard and Antoine Rosner. Eddie Pepperell, 22. Matt Wallace, 25. Torbjörn Olesen, 30. Mathieu Pavon, 35. Marcus Armitage, 35. Andy Sullivan, 35. Paul Waring, who had a really good week last week, 35. And then the 40s, Marcel Schneider, Matthew Jordan. The 45s, that's where we'll stop. John Catlin, Hurley Long, Joachim Lagerin, and Jorge Campillo. So, again, another difficult week to try to figure out someone to really like. But if you're looking at the kind of event history for the Portugal Masters, which has historically kind of been one of those fill-in tournaments where they just have it when they need to have a tournament. But if you look at the last couple of years, because I think that's more of a fair representation of it. But last year was in November, and then 2020 was in September. So, I mean, they've just tried to fit this thing in wherever they can. But if you look at the 2020 leaderboard, George Coetzee won, which was actually a huge win for his career at that point. Tommy Fleetwood finished T3. Joachim Lagergren finished T3. Laurie Kanter was the runner-up. Masahiro Kawamura was fifth to himself. Nicholas Lemke, Sebastian Garcia Rodriguez were T6. John Catlin, T8, was in different form then. Jorge Campillo and Julien Guerrier were T8. All of them, you know, as a group there. If you look at last year, Nikolai Højgaard was one of the co-runners up along with Mathieu Pavon. Thomas Peters won. He's not in the field this week. Lucas Bjerregaard was T2. Then you had Matthew Jordan and Nino Bertasio, T5. Francesco Laporta at 7th by himself. Minwoo Lee, Richard Blin, Adrien Arnaas, T8 last year. So you don't have a whole lot of crossover between those two leaderboards from one year to the next, which makes betting this event kind of tricky. Very tricky. I mean, depending on how you want to consider it. Catlin was T22 last year after that T8 in 2020. So maybe you want to look at him. I mean, I like betting John Catlin. But again, there's not, and it's 45-1. That's not a bad ticket to have, but it does feel like this tour has kind of reset itself on who the players are to really like this week. So maybe you go, you know, Nikolai Højgaard and try to take a chance on him. Lagergren could be interesting. Paul Waring does kind of stand out to me as a guy to potentially like, and I do like Eddie Pepperell's current form. So I could be talked into that, but again, I don't really have strong conviction plays here. This is a middling field, a very middling field, as we get toward the end of the DP World Tour season. After this week, the top 60 in points qualify, top 60 available players qualify for the Nedbank Golf Challenge in South Africa, and then you have the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. That's the top 50 players. So really, this week is the last chance for these guys to secure their spot either in what amounts to a two-event playoff series or stay inside the top 110 in points to keep their DP World Tour status for next season. Again, this is going to be kind of one of those. It's almost like the Wyndham Championship for the DP World Tour. This is your chance to keep it together or you go home. And there really just are not a lot of there just aren't many consistent players in the field this week. We did talk about Nikolai von Dellinghausen, I could get behind that at 80-1. I mean, he's played okay recently. T20 in the Open de France, T50 in a pretty decent field in the Italian Open, was good last week, kind of out of nowhere in the Mallorca Golf Open. I could be interested in that, but I think that's probably the extent of it, at least my initial first thoughts. I would not jump on really any of these in particular. Nothing is really feeling all that great to jump out at this point. But we'll look at it tomorrow and we'll get a little bit more in depth with you as we get more odds, more golfer props, tournament props. We'll do a course breakdown, court model breakdown for the Bermuda Championship tomorrow and give you at least some idea of some names to like this week and hopefully find some shots to take a little bit deeper down the board. Because, again, the idea of betting Thomas Dietrich 18-1 and feeling like that was a good bet, even if it's the right bet, feels a little dirty. It's almost like betting Rory at 9-2. Yeah, you know it's the right bet, but it still feels a little dirty doing it. Okay, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. If you have any questions for me, get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can read all of our stuff at golfnewsnet.com. Subscribe for $30 a year. Become a Golf Newsnet member. Get access to great resources, including our modeling and our tools, which we're going to continue to work through the fall to upgrade for 2023. So we're very excited about that as well. GNN Radio will launch on Wednesday, which I'm very excited about. This show will be a part of it each day, along with two of the first, and then my show that will air live eventually during the 10 a.m. hour, which will be called the Breakfast Ball or the Breakfast Bow, kind of like a ode to the Colbert Report back in the day. But we'll get to that when we get to that. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.